Good morning. It's the 28th of August. Join me on my morning walk at the Stream of Random podcast. Saturday morning, 6:30 in the morning, and it's a beautiful day out. We haven't talked in a while. I have not recorded yesterday. I was working the past 2 days on things, editing shows, and it's tough work to edit, and there's so much left undone. One of the sections that I edited on the 13th, so it's the 28th minus 13, it's 15 days behind. We're 2 weeks behind now on producing shows, where I have all these recordings piling up, which means I have to produce less new recordings until we can get through them all, and then maybe find the right speed of recording versus editing. It's easy to just record while walking and push that out, but then to find the time to actually listen to it and then write up notes and tag the audio and then spell check it and then find links, supporting links for it, and then convert it into a video and post it on these different platforms. It's a lot more work. So I haven't been posting the video immediately. I've been just putting out the episodes onto Anchor and my blog. My blog with the notes and Anchor with the audio. And then I took 4 episodes and cut them together into a video and posted those. Especially since they were shorter pieces. Now on Nemo TV, I posted it under Other Games last time, and I got hundreds of views. Now I posted it under Outdoor, and I have 0 views at all. So I think I'm not going to post on Nemo. It's just more work. And I don't want to disappoint people by thinking it's some game. So I had a chat with Mr. Chicken yesterday. He wants to record. I didn't want to record new episodes. I just wanted to talk to someone. It's just the burden of producing is now much higher. So it's not fun anymore. The effort of communication, the cost of communication is high. So I want to do less communication. So there's so many political things that I don't even want to talk about. And I have recovered from my original put down the crack pipe episode where I rejected. I said we're going to only do math. I was also scared. And I wanted to hide in my math bubble, my math cocoon, the security of numbers. Now, we learned an awful lot so far in the study of math. And there's more to learn. And also the study of language. And I can't even articulate it all like this lady Helen Sword can. But the building blocks of our language are limited. Talked about this on a couple of the previous episodes that I haven't edited yet. The building blocks of our language, symbols, limit our thoughts and our ability to communicate. Communication is hard. It's not what I thought it was. Let me just repeat what I was saying. I always thought that communication was implicit and easy, but it's not. And basically what the guy said is we have to learn, we have to read into and get close to how other people think so we can change how they think. We have to spoon feed it to them. We have to do the work of thinking for them and anticipating their arguments. And that's also a adversarial coevolution, let's say. That episode didn't get any listens yet, but I thought it was pretty damn good. The good thing is here, I'm putting extra thought into my statements. And eventually, I'm going to go back and review my notes and episode notes and pull things together. I've got the timestamps. I've got the clips. It's all indexed. So I'm quite happy with that. So many mistakes I have made in my life on this topic of communication. And since I don't actually know who the listener is, it's going to be hard for me to even to prepare it all. But let's just think I'm preparing it for my co-host, Mr. Chicken Man, to explain it to him. Because that's a target audience, let's say. Instead of thinking about my notes for myself, notes to self. Instead of thinking about my needs and making notes for myself, I should think about the listener, the ideal listener, the educated, intelligent person who knows a little bit about this topic but wants to know more. That's what he said. That's your audience. They came to you to find a little bit more about the situation. What are you adding to the existing situation? All right. So I just edited the show talking about usage, data collection, and monetization. And I thought I might want to restate some of my ideas, maybe in a more palatable manner, a second revision. And we can have second revisions and third revisions on this show. We reserve the right to be wrong and to make mistakes. So Microsoft Windows puts advertising on your desktop. It's kind of like the Google Play services. And a lot of times the advertising is irrelevant. It's not what you are looking for. And I think that certain people, under circumstances, if they're looking for something, they would be willing to entertain advertising for those things. It's like, I'm looking to hire someone, so pitch me some CVs. I have this problem. You know, maybe I'm willing to pay for a solution. Now, the activity of the user can be complicated in such a way that it's undecidable. And the user can be lying. If you're going to pay them to watch ads, they could just be lying to you. So there's quite a bit of trust issues going on here as well. Now Google pays you per click. You pay Google per click. And that could be up to a dollar or something if you click on the ad. And there's this huge machine, trillion-dollar machine called Google, which does all of these things for free, let's say, but financed by these clicks. And the index, the page rank, was the algorithm that spawned the company. I'm attempting to walk this small circle now across the new bridge, but in the other direction. Because it's early in the morning, I'm going to go through Trenton, the city. Hopefully I don't get mugged. And then from there, I'll go over the bridge and then come back later in the day on the other side where there's less poverty. So I'm thinking that the behavior can be understood as a path through a program coupled with parameters. There's so much data there. The internal state of the machine, a lot of data. That includes all the passwords. I mean, there's so much data that's sensitive in there as well. And it becomes a huge amount of data if you try and sample it. So that you have to make a decision as to what points do you want to sample, how much data do you want to collect, what are the key points in a program, the Knackpunkte, the turning points, the the crux or crosses. Crux means cross, Kreuz. It's the turning points, the decision points that are important. Where do you put your attention? What do you focus on? So selection of key points to monitor in a program is like finding the needle in the haystack. And there's different tools to do it, but you'll never know because the program itself is so complicated that it's undecidable. Unless you have, of course, a reduction in strength. That's one of the key points here. Unless you can reduce the strength, somehow have an inroad, have some insight, some key points to hold on to, and then it could work through it. Now, what I've seen is this generic behavior that when you're observing a program, you end up modeling the decision structure of the program again. So a program models something in the world, and when you observe the program, you end up modeling that program, and you end up modeling the world and the complexity behind it. So it's kind of like, how expressive is that model? What's the strength of it? How expressive is the program? And does it carry the model forward? Even machine learning models are models of the world, even if we don't understand them. Even if we don't understand the machine learning model, it's produced somehow randomly through training. It's approximately right. And there we would have to apply different tools to try and understand that model itself, just like we would a program. I'm sure that there's lots of literature I could find on this topic. And I should do some more reading and then come back to this and do some experiments. But what's the point? We call them conversion rates in a website. When you get the person to click on and pay you, that's a conversion. And everything else leads up to it. All right. Well, that was pretty scary. I'm walking. I thought I would get up early to avoid the hoodlums. And I was on the towpath. And there's a bridge there where people go fishing. It's like the bridge over another body of water. And this guy is standing there, and he's got a full ski mask on in the middle of the summer. It covers his entire head. Looks like he's preparing to do a robbery or whatever. And he's just standing there. I say good morning to him, and he's just like, doesn't say anything. And I'm just thinking, holy shit, what's going to happen next? So that was pretty scary. I mean, it was unusual. It's usual to see people with face masks, but not with full head coverings, like a tight ski mask on in the winter, in the summertime, in the morning. So that was very weird behavior. So I have to adjust my plans on actually walking through Trenton, even in the morning. I guess it was just too late. I guess there's some stuff happening there. So I guess I can't use that bridge. I mean, I don't really want to risk my life or be involved with anything like that. All right. I thought about calling the police, but the guy also saw my face, and I walk around a lot. So I also don't want to be a snitches who gets stitches. So what else is new? Well, I made it to Pennsylvania. I'm walking back. I just saw this bloated deer in the river here, in the canal. And something was tugging on its leg. I guess it was a giant snapper turtle chewing on the dead deer. It was pretty weird. It looked like the deer was swimming. I guess it's lunchtime for the turtles. Well, we're getting into some pretty complicated topics with this talking generically about the behavior of a program, because it turns out that a program can do absolutely anything. That's been proven. Okay. I'm listening to Lex Friedman. His most recent episode, let me see the name, Jed Buchwald, historian and philosopher of science at Caltech, is being interviewed. And they're talking about the history of science paradigm shifts, scientific paradigm shifts. And I was just reminded, and I was just thinking, is what we are doing here with this podcast. Is it science? Is it a scientific process? Are we discovering anything? Are we learning anything by reviewing our episodes and thinking about them again? Are we improving upon them? Is there anything that we've covered that's not already known to everybody? Are we just learning existing things and putting them into new terms for ourselves?
Thank you.
Have a good one. The stream here is full of water. I guess 2 weeks ago when I walked here the first time, everything was empty. And now everything's full of water again. There's a lot of rain. The river is also quite full. Okay. Well, I'm halfway through my walk. I'm approaching the bridge to go back. I haven't talked for hours today, and that's okay. There's no requirement that I speak for hours about things that I don't know. And I have to say, my life has been very busy right now outside the podcast. I've been really projecting myself outside and thinking about things that are important. But I do think that this has been a powerful, useful tool to be continued with communication and learning. Okay, guys, that's it. See you next time.